International. He is has been part of Gideon's for over 40 years, and I think you've been here before. To
I have, but it was East Bend Mennonite at that time.
Oh, well, that's okay. All right, so this, just want to say thank you for bringing the message this morning, and I just want to pray specifically for him. So, Lord, I just thank you for Kai. Thank you for his willingness to share you wherever he goes. And, Lord, I pray that we would be ready to receive what you have for us today. Lord, that you would give us a boldness to share your good news with others. And, Jesus, I just pray a blessing over him and his ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Luke, the emphasis needs to be on evangelism. And I've been, of course, a part of the Gideons for a long time. But I want to give you a little bit of my background. First of all, I was raised in a church. I went to church. I thought I was a Christian. And when I was 16 years old, I rode my bike to church, which was about 7 or 8 miles, for the first time, because I thought we were going bowling. There was a youth group, and we had a lot of pretty girls in the youth group, and that was my motivation, you know. And so when I got there to church, found out that it had been canceled, but they had an evangelist speaking. And his name was George Otis. He shared about how he was going to church because he was interested in a lady. And so that was one way that he would be able to participate with and be with her. And he heard the preacher say something about anyone who wants to ask Christ into their life to raise their hand and put it back down. And so he was sitting way in the back, and he raised it up and put it down. Probably the pastor didn't even see it, but God did. And that was enough. So I heard that. And then he asked the whole congregation to say the sinner's prayer. Now he said, if you really want to know, and if you aren't sure, but you want to have that assurance in your life, pray this prayer, not from here, but from here. And so I prayed that prayer, and I asked Christ to come into my heart. I was sitting with a group of teenagers, especially girls. And as a result of that, finished the prayer, and I'm bawling my eyes out. And it's not a good thing for a 16-year-old boy to be bawling his eyes out in front of a bunch of girls. And so one of the youth pastors came up to me and said, something happened, didn't it? And I said, yes. And so he had me meet George, and he wrote it in a book, so May 23rd, 1972. So that makes me old, right? You figure that out. And so our church had a coffee house ministry, and we were working on the streets with the kids who would hang out there. And so that Saturday or Friday night, I went to the coffee house, and I thought, okay, I get to tell others about Jesus. I didn't know much, but I knew enough. And they were all just sitting around talking with each other, you know, lollygagging, and I decided, no, that's not what I want to do. I went out on the streets. I went to this place called The Bridge. It was a bridge, and people, the kids would be driving up and down, and there was a guy smoking a joint, and he offered it to me. I said, no, I got something better. His eyes got really big, and he says, ooh, better drugs. And I just shared about what had happened the week before. And then I said, I'm going to go back to the coffee house. I'm going to go into the prayer room, and I'm going to pray for you. And if you have any questions, come and ask for me. I was in the prayer room for just about 10, 15 minutes, and there's a knock on the door and says, there's a guy out here asking for you. I said, send him in. He said, when you started talking to me, I was pretty high. By the time you left, I was stone sober, and I want what you have. So I was less than a week old in the Lord, knew John 3:16 because I'd been raised in Sunday school, but didn't know much else, but I had a testimony. Later on, I went into the United States Air Force. I thought I needed to get a Bible, you know, a small Bible. And when I went to the AFI station, they were handing out testaments. They were different color. They're almost a black, but they're very dark green. And I got one of those. And I thought that was pretty neat. And when I was in basic training, I got to share with individuals who were there in basic. And in many cases, I got to pray with them to ask Christ into their lives. And if they didn't have a testament, I got one from the chaplain to give to them. And so I was very accustomed to what the Gideon's International, at least the testament, I liked the product. And then I went to Northern Illinois University. And at Northern Illinois University, there was the guys on all the corners, and they were distributing scriptures and handing them out. So I went to each guy and took one from each. I filled up my field jacket with scriptures, and because I knew how to use them. I knew how to give them away. And I knew how to share Christ with others. So when I went, there was the next week, there was this preacher on the quad. I don't know if any of you have ever seen those preachers that yell at you and tell you you're all going to hell. And you're going to hell because you drink and you smoke and you go with wild women. And I said, I don't. He says, you're going to go to hell because you have sex outside of marriage. And I said, I don't. And he says, so you're going to go to hell because you got blue jeans on. I said, brother, you got me there. I do have blue jeans on. I said, but you know what? I have not found that in my Bible that it says that because I wear blue jeans, I'm going to hell. And he's looking at me, and I said, you know, my Bible says the only reason I'd go to hell is if I didn't ask Jesus Christ into my life and ask him for forgiveness of my sins, and I have. I said, the love of Christ is not in you. And I walked away from him, and a third of the group walked away with me. And one of the gals said, is there really a hell? I pulled out one of those little Gideon testaments. I shared the plan of salvation and back. I said, there is a hell, but God has a remedy for it. And I prayed with her to ask Jesus into her heart. So I liked the product. Later on, I got asked to come to a new member plan where they sign you up as a Gideon. And I hated the speaker. I really didn't care for what he was saying, because it's like, all you have to do is pay your dues, you know, ultimately. And if I'm going to be something, I'm going to be part of it, and I'm going to take it on as much as I can. And so I became a Gideon. And so that's part of my, what's, okay, which way? Okay, I see both things there, but it's not moving forward. Let's see. All right, next slide. Okay, there we go. We're best known for the Hotel Motel Bibles. This is just a small percentage of what we do. We're in 199 countries, territories, or possessions. We believe in the Bible in its entirety as the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We strive to live for Him daily in our lives. We believe the marriage is between one biological man and one biological woman without apology. We're members in good standing in local churches, congregations, fellowships, and assemblies, and our membership can only become part of the Gideons if there's somebody who, or a pastor who recommends us. I had to have a pastor recommend me. And so when I joined, there's been a lot of different things that have happened. The next slide. Since our inception 125 years ago, we've distributed 2.65 billion copies. If you can wrap your head around a volunteer organization that does this, how do we do that? Most of the time, it's one scripture at a time. I've had the opportunity to distribute scriptures or to be part of evangelism opportunities in Uganda, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, and most recently in Sierra Leone and Cape Verde, West Africa. I don't know what's in their minds when they take an old guy like me and make him a field representative, and I get to go into Africa. I don't like hot weather. I was born in Finland. We have the Arctic Circle there. These places are too close to the equator. I sweat. But you know what? The idea is that we can share with others. If you look at the next slide, you see the orange ones are here in the United States. We give them to students in schools. We can't do it inside the school buildings in most cases, so we have to stand on the public sidewalk, and there's going to be somebody there who's going to say, "You can't do that." And yes, we can. But when I have been in these other countries, this was down in Nicaragua, and I was in a Catholic school, so we're giving out testaments. You have to do it a little differently. I'm not really supposed to go through the back plan of salvation with them. But what I would ask is the teachers, how well do your kids read? And so I direct them to the back of the testament and have them read the plan of salvation to the rest of the kids that are there. And their teachers were proud as can be. Their kids could read. I was happy that the plan of salvation was being shared with somebody. It was really neat. So if you look at that, you go, this is what we do. Most of them are one at a time into the hands, and most of them go into schools, colleges, and universities and places like that. In fact, the one year I was in Uganda, I was at Makerere University in Kampala. In one day, I got to hand out, one at a time, 6,600 testaments. I didn't have anybody turn me down. I don't care if they were wearing a hijab or not. They came and took. See, something free in Africa means something. And so you look at that and you go, this is pretty cool. When I got back, we did the University of Illinois distribution, and we had 50 guys. And I think we gave out 6,300 that year. So I did more in one day than 50 guys did on the distribution. The next slide. When we got to school there in Costa Rica, and most of them were behind fences, so there was a gate guard, and the head teacher was leaving, and so said he needed to go with us, and there was four classrooms, there was two of us Gideons and one interpreter, and so have us alternate, and the gate guard would stand in the back of the room and listen to what we were saying. At the end of it, we were walking back, I looked at him, I said, "You prayed that prayer, didn't you? See, did you sign the back of your book?" He says, "Not yet." Had him sign the back of the book, and his first name is Christian. Now he is. It's pretty cool. Next page. Most of the distributions that we did, we had groups of people. What was really interesting in Africa, especially, is when I would do a presentation, especially in Uganda, they would stop school, and they'd have a whole group of kids out there, and you got to share with all of them. When I recently have been in West Africa, we had to go classroom to classroom. But it gives you that opportunity to share the plan of salvation. Most of them knew John 3:16. But they didn't necessarily know what that meant. Next slide. One of our interpreters, when we got there to Costa Rica, he's an African-American. He's been there for about 12 or 13 years at that time. And I got along with him well. He had spent 8 years in the Navy. I had my military experience. And I said, where do you go to church, David? And he says, well, I've been trying a few different churches. I've tried the Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness. And I said, ooh, how's that working for you? He says, not really well. I said, well, I have a testament. He said, oh, they gave me one. I said, fine, pull out your testament. We went through the back. God loves you. We've all sinned. God has a remedy for sin. Got to that last, there's a prayer in the back of the testament. It's not the only prayer you can pray. You can pray, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I asked him, is there any reason why you wouldn't pray that prayer and ask Jesus into your heart? And he had no good reason. So we prayed the prayer. No sooner had he finished the prayer, there was an Australian Gideon named David came by. I said, David, tell David what you just did. So I had him voice what he had just done, asking Jesus into his heart. But that's not the end of the story. He never was one of my interpreters, but what he was doing is he would ride his motorcycle and go to the different places that they were going to be handing out Bibles. And we had some torrential rains. Go figure, Costa Rica. And so this torrential rains, but he was riding a motorcycle, and they said, we'll still pay you. And he says, no. And he would drive his motorcycle to all of the places. And he was enthusiastic and showed the enthusiasm. And one of the Gideons came back to our morning meeting and says, well, he needs to be a Gideon. I said, well, he meets one of the criteria. He is born again. Now he has to become a member of an evangelical church, you know, not one of those other churches. And he qualified by his occupation also that he normally did. But you know what? That's the kind of enthusiasm we want. And what happened was when they ran out of places to distribute, he went looking for other places where they could go. That's cool. Next slide. I guess I've had that twice. Boy, go on. Next one. This one I put Christian on. Recently, it was in January, I went to Sierra Leone, West Africa. Their biggest monetary denomination was a 20, and it was worth like 87 cents of US. They wanted you to, when you exchange your money, they wanted $100 bills. You know how much you get to walk around with this big old wad of bills, but you feel like a millionaire. You are in their recollection, but It was amazing to me. We went to a lot of different places while there. We distributed at many schools. We went into the schools. We went room to room. Sometimes we had a whole group outside that we got to speak to. Most of the time they wanted to see the white guy. I got to speak in a lot of places. I got to speak at a lot of churches. You know what? I was the only white guy in the church. That's okay. Our fellowship was in Christ. The message was the same. How they presented and how they sang was a lot different. It's okay. Next slide. This was kind of fun. Was there, and the camp president, the local president, came to my hotel. And we talked about what we were going to do the next day. They brought me food. A lot of times it was fish. A lot of times the fish was watching you as you ate it. A lot of plantain, things like that. I'm not even going to talk about some of the bathrooms I dealt with. Okay. It gets, you know you're not in Kansas. Anyway, so we'd finished talking about what we were going to do, and I asked the son, what's your name? And he says, it's Israel. I said, that's a big name for a kid. And it's very important. I said, are you a Christian? He says, yes. I said, when did you become a Christian? He says, when I was born. Okay. I didn't buy that very well for some reason. So I said, okay, just like if I sit in my garage long enough, I don't become a car. And just because I sit in a church doesn't make me a Christian. It takes an individual one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to ask for forgiveness. You have to ask for Him to come into your heart. We went through the plan of salvation back of the Testament. In fact, I gave him one of the U.S. ones. You can tell it's U.S. because we have a flag in it. You know, theirs, they have a world, and theirs are all blue. But anyway, I went through the plan of salvation. I said, is there any reason why you wouldn't ask Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins? And he had no good reason, so we prayed that prayer. Once we're done praying the prayer, I looked at his father and I said, I didn't expect to do this. He says, it was the Holy Spirit. So now he's a Christian. Next slide. Have you heard that 95% of confessing Christians do not share their faith with others? What does the Great Commission say? Anybody? Go ye into the world. Preach the gospel to every living. That's not the pastor, that's us. We may be the only church they ever see. And if we're not willing to share the gospel of Christ, we must not really like people. Because we're willing to let them go to a Christless eternity. That means an eternity in hell. I like this Acts 1:8. In fact, it's one of the things I'm supposed to, as a regional field officer, share with them, that after that we'll have power, after the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we will be witnesses. That word, will be witnesses, will be my witnesses. Will. We might be. No, it's will be. If the Holy Spirit is in you, then we have a responsibility to share the love of Jesus with others. If we're not sharing, we're not caring. So we have that responsibility to share with others. Isaiah 55:11, next slide. This is the one Gideon's almost always share. And so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me empty or void. It shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the things in which I send it. If we share the word of God. Now, some of you believe the Gideons are a Bible distributing organization. I'm sorry, that's not our purpose. We are a soul-winning organization, and we look for men who have an excitement about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to become part of our association. We want individuals who have a burden for souls to be a part of us. We do the work of the church outside of the church to bring people into the church. My pastor, He's enthusiastic because he's into evangelism, and he had to read more about what the Gideons do. He says, y'all doing the same thing I'm doing, it's just you're doing it all over the world. Aren't we crazy? Next slide. This is one of those things that we learn in Sunday school early on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But there's that word, whoever believes in him. What does it mean by whoever? Everyone, anyone, whoever. I've had, when I worked with clients, individuals who had drug or alcohol problems and situations, I would sometimes hear them say, well, I've been so bad that God couldn't forgive me. That's not what my Bible says. I had one female who'd had a number of abortions, and I don't believe in abortions. I think they're wrong. But I also know that we're all sinners. It doesn't matter what the sin is. But she had gone to her priest and shared that. And he says, I don't think God could forgive you. I pulled out a little testament. I gave a lot of these things away. I got fired after 18 years for upsetting an atheist. It's okay. I didn't even put in an application. I got another call. Hey, Kai, I hear you're between jobs. Would you like, you know, it's one of those things. And then I was out of that after 13 years, and then I got a text message from a judge saying, Kai, what are you doing? Just because they knew who I was and what I stood for. I wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Sorry, I went on that. But when I shared with this young lady that John 3:16, I said, my God will forgive your sins. I don't care what the priest said, I don't care what, but I care about what the Word of God says. She prayed and asked Jesus into her heart. Next slide. It didn't do anything. Okay. I'm sorry. They should have the flag. And how many of you have ever heard of Cape Verde? Okay, a few of you. How many have ever seen it? It's really neat because if you look at where all the hurricanes start, you can always see Cape Verde there. It's like it comes off the Sahara and it comes through, and it's amazing. It's 10 inhabited islands, but there's other islands there. I had to go to 5 of those islands. Traveling between islands, you fly. 2 of my flights were canceled until the next day. You know how hard it is to work out details when it's inconsistent? The challenges of a regional field officer and hoping that somebody's there at the airport to meet you. They speak Portuguese there. I don't speak Portuguese. I used my smartphone a lot to share what was going on and what I needed. You put it in there and a woman's voice says what it needs to say. I don't care. I got to the hotels I needed to get to, and cabs weren't that expensive. There's no meters. So as we look at all that, it comes down to, in the final slide, we have a responsibility as born-again believers. If you're not born again, you need to ask Christ into your heart. I don't know who here knows Jesus and who doesn't. I don't know if some of you just have been a pew for so long you think you're a Christian. I hope not. But we have a responsibility not just inside these walls, but outside those walls. That's the mission field. And if there's one thing that we need to do, is we need to be available. We need to ask God to bring somebody into our presence and that we deal with, that we can share the Word of God with. If you don't ask, you're not going to get. Also, as a Gideon, I like to carry one of these. It helps to be able to have that. We have a Gideon Bible app that has the same kind of thing in it. It's really kind of neat. If you've never led somebody to Christ, you need to do that. At least plant seeds. Most people have to be asked 7 times before they'll say yes. Don't necessarily ask them to come to the church. It's okay. But share the gospel with them where they're at. Thank you.